Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. You happy to be here? Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to look down in verse 12, Colossians chapter 4. And in this chapter, it's sort of the final farewell and a remembrance of fellow laborers that the Apostle Paul is mentioning and those that he has worked with in the ministry. And I want to draw your attention to verse 12 because it talks about the will of God. And that's going to be our subject this morning, the will of God. So I want you to strongly contemplate, to greatly consider this morning about the will of God for your life. Living in, knowing, doing, fulfilling the will of God for your life. There was a time in my early Christianity I didn't think much about the will of God. I just didn't give it much thought. In my ignorance and in my immaturity as a Christian, I never gave it much thought. But as I grew in the Lord, grew closer to the Lord, it became a major, major subject in my life as a Christian. God, what is your will for my life? I'd always planned just to be on the farm. That's all I had ever planned to be. That and being married to my wife. You know, I was probably even younger than a freshman. Yeah, I was younger than a freshman. I'd have been in middle school. And I still remember the day my older sister, for some reason, that's just how older sisters are, they're inquisitive. You know, they got to ask you things and got to know all about what's going on. If you had an older sister, you know what I'm talking about. She said, "Michael, what are you going to do when you get out of school?" I said, "I'm going to marry Debbie Schaefer." That's what I said. And I couldn't wait to get out of school to marry. I married her at the end of my junior year. I want to make sure nobody else got her. But along with that, I just intended to continue to farm. That's all I ever thought about. But then as God began to work on my heart, as I began to draw closer to the Lord, and really just, you know, normal Christian growth, I began to be impressed with the thought, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And consumed with that thought. Now, this was way yonder before I had any inkling that God was going to call me to preach. And honestly, I would think about things like this. Well, if I fully surrender, the Lord will probably send me to Africa or something. As if that would just be horrible, you know. But that was my mindset early on, as a growing Christian, that it would be dangerous for me to say, "Lord, take me and use me. What do you want me to do?" And so shallow was my thinking. Really so fleshly was my thinking, not realizing that I would never be contented, I would never be fulfilled, but only in the will of God, no matter where that was at, no matter where on the planet. I'm convinced now, as hopefully a more mature Christian, that the safest, happiest place to be on earth is right in the will of God. No matter where that's at on the planet, what country, what nation, or what geographically where you might be located, has really little to do with that. God will take care of that. You just get surrendered to Him, and He'll place you. He'll put you. And He does that. But the will of God. Do you know the will of God for your life? Have you narrowed it down? I mean, there's a general will of God. I understand that for all of us. And we'll touch on some of that this morning, this message. But there is a specific will of God for each of us. And we should know it, especially if we've been saved for a number of years. Surely we understand and know the will of God. What our occupation would be, what our place of service would be, what place we would be in the church as far as serving in the church and helping and working, fulfilling what God wants us to do. He didn't call us just to be sitting in the grandstands. He didn't call us just to sit by and watch the activity. He called us to be involved in His work one way or another. Amen. I like the analogy. Somebody said, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not called to do that. And they likened that unto shooting the weapon. You know, and sometimes I feel like I'm doing that when I'm preaching. Y'all know that, don't you? That I'm shooting at you. Sometimes it's a shotgun blast, but then once in a while I get the rifle out. Say, well, I can't do that. Well, pass me some bullets then. Or be the water brigade and get some water and begin to refresh the saints. Be a help, be a blessing. Find your part, do your part. Find the will of God, know the will of God. The Bible says we should know the will of God. It shouldn't be something that we're continually searching for. But it should be something we say, you know what, I'm getting it, I'm narrowing it down. I believe God's leading me in this direction. I believe the Lord has revealed some things to me. The will of God. Well, this verse, I pulled it out in particular because it talks about the will of God. Again, Paul is rehearsing some tremendous saints that have labored with him in the service. In verse 12, he speaks of this one. This preacher, I believe, really pastor of Colossians, I believe, Epaphras, verse 12, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? You say, well, who is this Epaphras? Well, turn to the first part of the book, Colossians 1, and Paul gives somewhat of an introduction, and he mentions Epaphras in verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. I'm not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, but it sounds like he's the pastor, the preacher. But we also read a little bit about him in Philemon, verse 23. Paul calls this same man a fellow prisoner of Christ Jesus. It sounds like he spent a little time in prison with Paul for the gospel. So here he mentions this dear preacher of the word that he is, in verse 13 he talks about he has a great zeal for you. He is a faithful minister, he's a fellow prisoner, and his prayer for the church is that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I cannot think of a more special prayer than to have a prayer like that for your fellow servants, for those that you minister to and minister with, that we would all stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, that's the thought this morning. That's the thought. Now let's look at, that's sort of the skeleton. Let's try to put a little meat on it. Now first of all, do you know the will of God for your life? Is it something you've pondered? Is it something you purposely have taken before the Lord and asked Him about? Is it something that you can say here today, I either know the will of God, or I am in pursuit of the will of God? Or would you possibly be here this morning and say, well, you know what, it's something I've really never given much thought to? Well, first of all, let's just be honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord. I've already admitted to you, there was times in my early Christianity I didn't give it much thought. There was some time there that I would come to church so that I could leave. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there? Sure, I've sat where you've sat. But when you really begin to move in the direction, the spiritual direction, you begin to grow in the Lord and the things of God, hey, it's going to become a thought. It's going to become a concept that's going to be a part of your Christian life. What is God's will for my life? Why has He saved me? Why is it that I have lived and others haven't? Why is it that I continue to be upon planet Earth? It's not just here to breathe His air and eat His food. God has a purpose for us being here. You know, Job wrestled with that. Why, you know, it comes so hard upon him. He said, why didn't I die when I was born? Why is that? And then I like to think about those servants that survived the catastrophic things that happened in the book of Job. There was always one servant that survived the catastrophe. You remember that? He'd come to Job and say, I only have survived this to come and tell you. Well, there's a reason that one survived. And basically it was to tell what had happened. They didn't know it at the time, but Job was going to repopulate his household. He was going to have 10 more kids. And guess who was around to tell them about God's deliverance? Those servants. Those same servants could pull those kids aside and say, hey, let me tell you how God helped your daddy through a tough, tough time. Let me tell you about His faithfulness. And there was 10 more kids to train and 10 more kids to teach. Hey, I'm just telling you, God has left us here for a purpose. God has left us here to be a blessing. God has left us here that we might know and do the will of God. The Bible says we should do it from our heart. From our heart. So it's more than just a mental thing. I mean, it's us. It involves our life, our thoughts, our will, our devotion, our love. From our heart, we're to do the will of God. You know, we're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart. Amen? And we're to love our spouse with all of our heart. Amen? Not just in action, but all of us. And we're to do the will of God from our heart. That's something we know and we love and we're dedicated to and we're faithful to do it. Hey, if we're trying to do it for any other reason, we're not going to last. If we're just trying to do the will of God to get somebody off our back or just to maybe look good in front of somebody, not going to work. Paul would often talk about his apostleship, and he said he would be called by the will of God. He said, I was called. He talked about it one time, and he said it wasn't a man either. He said it was by the will of God. It wasn't man's ideal. It wasn't man's concept. It was God. It was God who intervened in my life and spoke to my heart and directed me in a new direction with a new message and a new hope and a new purpose. By the way, that's what it means being a Christian. Old things pass away, but all things become new. It's new now. It's a different mindset. It's not of this world anymore. Now our thoughts and our heart, our concentration should be, God, what is Your will for my life? No matter what that is. Do you know it? Are you willing to embrace it? Are you willing to pursue it? Are you willing to bow before a holy God and say, God, show me your will? Say, oh, preacher, that's a lot. Hey, it's a step in the right direction. I'm telling you it is. And I know the Word of God teaches us. I know that praying, God speaks to our heart. And at times, God will use other people in our life to help direct us too. Do you believe that? I'm talking about other Christians that are also in the pursuit of knowing God and loving God. And they can also give, help us get in the right direction. Thank God for that. In fact, it was a pastor who challenged me, Brother Randy Poole, challenged me as a young nothing. I mean, a young nothing Christian. I can't believe he did it, but he said, hey, what about you teaching a young boys class? Well, I had need that somebody teach me. Little did I know, those boys did teach me. They did teach me. You know why? Because I had to begin to dig in the Scripture. I began to have to prepare a lesson. I began to have to pray and say, God, help me with this. What is this verse saying? And I've said this many times, and it's absolutely true. I don't know if they learned anything, but I learned a whole lot. Not to mention, take some baby steps in Christian growth. Now, some of y'all are looking at me a little bit cross-eyed. But hey, we've got lots of room around here to have some more Sunday school classes. I'll tell you, like they told Moody when he wanted to do something for his church, they said, well, go get a class. Go get you one to teach. He said, I want to teach. He said, well, go get you one. And he did. He went out in the streets. And he began to gather them up so that he had somebody to teach. That would be a great idea here, by the way. We don't have room. We'll make room. Amen? We'll make room. There was a time you had Sunday school classes in buses. There you go. If you're real good, we'll give you one with an air conditioner. Hey, biggest class gets the one with the air conditioner. Hey, I'm just saying there is something we can do. There is this will of God that we can know. There is a work. The Bible talks about us being a body. We have members. We have hands and feet and nose, eyes and ears. We have all these functions. And we're to know our place and we're to do our part. Moving the gospel forward. Everything in the world's pushing against us. Everything in the world's trying to discourage us and defeat us and keep us from preaching the gospel and moving the gospel ball forward. Let's do our part. Amen? Let's do our part. Well, let's look here. And what is the will of God? Well, first of all, I jotted down the will of God means denying your own will. Turn to Matthew 26, and you know this passage, but it would be very good for us to read it again. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Look down in verse 37. Matthew 26, verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he, the Lord Jesus, went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh unto disciples and find them asleep, saying to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You ever found that? Absolutely. He went away again. This is Matthew chapter 26, down to 42, verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He says, is the will of God always going to be easy? Absolutely not. Is the will of God always going to be in agreement with my flesh? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I would even say this, until you get your flesh out of the way, you're not going to know the will of God. Until there is this surrendering and denying of our will. The will of God means denying your own will. Are y'all with me on that? I mean, it's just as clear, so clear in the Bible. Let's look at another verse that talks about this. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're doing Bible calisthenics this morning. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. We just read about it. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Our battle's with sin. Our battle is sinful desires and sinful pleasures. Fleshly. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Those two are polar opposites. Our will and the will of God are total opposites. Complete opposites. Like paradise and hell, there must be a great gulf fixed between. Sure. It can't be our will and the will of God. Now, He works on our will. He's the one who makes us willing. Amen. He does that work on us. I'm talking about this initial stepping forward. And by the way, from time to time, again surrendering our will. I've had to do it often. How about you? Often I find myself needing to surrender my will. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Y'all still with me? Stay with me. Don't leave me. Don't let your mind wander. Don't miss this message. It'll help you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 3. For this is the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is? The Bible's going to tell us. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification. Now, sanctification means set apart. Set apart for a holy, consecrated use. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's a very dirty word. The Greek calls it pornania. That's where we get our word pornography. It's a very vile word. Listen to me. The will of God means denying your own will. The will of God is to abstain from fleshly desires. Fleshly desires. Now, God has put in us, as men, a desire for the opposite sex. God gave us that. When you hear somebody talking today that says, well, I have a desire as a man, I have a desire for a man. God didn't give you that. Now, you can blame it on God if you want to, but God didn't give you that. God put in men to be attracted to women. He put something in women so that they'd even like us, okay? I don't know if they're attracted to us, but they all got to have them anyway. We'll put up with them. Something like that. But our Adamic nature is for that to be perverted, that to be twisted, that to be unholy and ungodly. That's in us. Those thoughts, those desires are there, and sometimes it goes to the extreme and becomes very hideous. So what's the Bible say about that? The Bible says abstain from it. Abstain from it. You know, listen, all the way back in Genesis, even Joseph learned that principle of fleeing fornication. The Bible tells us flee fornication. That means put some shoe leather to it and get away from it. Get away from it. Stay away from it. Everybody still okay? Everybody still all right? Now what are we talking about? We're talking about the will of God. The will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now know this, that the world in which the Apostle Paul evangelized was a very sexually perverted world. Kind of like what we got going on today. Except today it's sort of on steroids. We're talking about the will of God. And how destructive and how damaging it is to the will of God when we're consumed with the flesh and those evil passions and evil desires. Well, let's go to another Thessalonian verse. Look at chapter 5, just a page over in my Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. We know it's the will of God to abstain from fornication. And then in chapter 5, verse 18, we know it's the will of God that we're grateful in all things. Look at verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is a huge, huge step in Christianity, a forward step in Christianity, when we are able to see the hand of God, the work of God, in all things in our life. And we're talking about circumstances, situations. We're not talking about wrong. We're not talking about doing wrong or getting into wrong. There's people that do that, and they blame sin on God. You can't do that. That's against the Bible. God doesn't lead us into sin. We're talking about the things that happen in our life that are we say they're out of our control. Really, it's in God's control. What's He tell us about that? He says we're to be thankful. We're to give thanks. We're to be a grateful people. It's the will of God that we are grateful in all things. And again, the understanding of that is that we're understanding about God's working in our life. You say, well, how could tragedy come into my life be God's will? Friend, it is. It is. Look at Joseph for an example. I mean, Joseph he's knocked down and he's knocked down and he's knocked down. Finally, he's a slave in Egypt, just simply trying to serve his master, and he's knocked down again and thrown in prison. Second, how could he be thankful in all of that? How could that be? How could he see through all of that and say, Lord, I'll still praise you. I'll still thank you. And we have that little snippet that's repeated many times in Scripture when those things would happen to Joseph. And I love this verse, and it says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Oh, he got knocked down low, but the Lord was with Joseph. And make no mistake about it, friend. In his time of being down, what did he do? He drew near to the Lord. He didn't run from him. He ran to him because the Bible says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. What did Joseph do in the prison? He said, oh God, I don't understand it. Oh God, you know that I was innocent. You know that woman lied. You know that. God, I'm innocent, but I trust you. I trust you. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. He'll be with us too, brothers and sisters. There's a difference of suffering wrong when we've done wrong and suffering when we've done right. And that even talks about the will of God. Are y'all still with me? The will of God is being grateful. Being grateful in all things. And notice that again in verse 18. In everything. Listen, it's not that we're rejoicing in the tragedy. You know, I'm so glad that I got hit by a truck. And thank you for that truck that hit me. No, no. Lord, I thank you that you were with me. That truck. Thank you that you're always with me. Thank you that you've got a purpose in it. A lot of times it's just refinement. A lot of times he's developing our character. Because it's in those tests that we really find out what we know. It's when that exam comes is when we're going to find out what kind of grade we're going to get. And God's ever pushing us for a higher grade, is He not? He's calling us to a higher, holier calling. The will of God is being grateful in all things. Let's move on. Romans 12. You had to know that we'd go there. Romans 12 talks about the will of God. Really, really in a completeness. I mean, we have the will of God explained so thoroughly in Romans 12. We really don't much need to go anywhere else. But let's go to Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God's not unreasonable in His request. God's not a tyrant on a throne, gleefully punishing His subjects. God is a good God, a holy God, a righteous God. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't ever think of that as degrees of God's will. It's not. It's a description of the grandeur of God's will. How do you describe it? It's so grand, it's so big, it takes all of these words to describe its greatness. That God's will is good, God's will is acceptable, God's will is perfect. And how do we get there? Well, let's look at it closely. The will of God is found as we die to self. Can we all agree to that? As we die to self, we're to present our body a living sacrifice. Okay? That's dying to self. That's yielding ourselves. That's taking our hands off ourselves and say, God, I'm yours. Take me. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, I'm yours. I'm yours. Have you ever done that? You ever done it? You ever done it more than once? Twice? A dozen times? I hope you have. I hope you have. God's will is found as we die to self, and then secondly, as we renew our mind, or renew to have the mind of Christ in us. That our mind is renewed. And be not conformed to this world. Now that's what the world wants. The world, the devil, wants us to be conformed to the world, the thinking of the world, the process of the world, the mindset of the world. The Lord taught that and when He was teaching being a servant. The disciples were arguing, who's the greatest? Well, I'm better than you, Peter. No, you're not. John says, well, I'm the best and y'all know it. The Lord said, fellas, that's not how we determine greatness. He said, I came, of course, the God of heaven, but yet I came and served. I came to be a servant. Learn to be a servant. Learn to die to self. Learn to humble yourself. You see, in God's autonomy, the way up is down. You get that? The way up is down. We're to humble ourselves. He's the one that does the exalting. We're the ones to humble ourselves and abase ourselves before a holy God. How am I going to know the will of God in my life? You've got to die to self. We've said that over and over. The Bible has repeated that over and over. We're to be a living sacrifice. Secondly, our mind has to be renewed. And the Bible challenges us to have the mind of Christ. You say, how can you have that? Get in the Word of God. Get into the Bible. Let the Bible get into you. Amen? Renew your mind by the Word of God. That you can, first of all, even prove what the will of God is. To prove it. To prove it is to test it, to put it to the test. Action. Move forward. Prove it. And it's good. Now listen, they called Jesus good one day and he said this. He said, there's none good but God. He was talking as a man right there. not giving away to that swine mentality of who he was. There is none good but God. This word good is not to be thought of flippantly. We might eat a cheeseburger and say, man, that was a good cheeseburger. But this word good is equated to God. Good. We're talking about God and His grandeur, and His greatness, and His holiness. God's will is good. Just like God is good. Equate it to that. Not just our choice about, you know, red or blue or black or white. Well, I like that or I like this, and that's good or that's not good. No, friend, God's will, hey, it's so far beyond our human understanding. It's good. It's good. And it's acceptable. God's will acceptable. I mean, think about it this way. The Lord booms from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's Him right there. I'm well pleased. Be acceptable is to be well pleasing. Just like the Lord Jesus was to the Father. That's God's will. It's God's will. Is your life well pleasing to the Lord? Your actions, your behavior, your attitude, is it well pleasing to the Lord? Something to think about, isn't it? And then he said it's perfect. That goes back to our original verse, that you be complete. Complete. The will of God speaks of maturity. It's perfect, complete. Don't need anything, don't add nothing to it, don't take nothing from it. It's perfect. It's God's will. Don't need improving, just need to function in it. God's will. But then finally, you say, well, good preacher, finally. Well, you know there's so much more even after finally. Amen. Paul wrote two more chapters after he said, finally, my brethren. Amen. Look at 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Again, we're talking about the will of God. 1 John chapter 2. And look down in verse 15. 1 John, the epistle of John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I mean, John doesn't mince any words, does he? See, it's either black or white. It's either right or wrong. Either in or out. Either love the Lord or you don't. For all that's in the world, verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Say, preacher, what's the will of God? I tell you, it's the only thing. It's the only thing which is done that will abide forever. You can take that over there to the judgment seat of Christ, and you can see our works being laid bare before the Lord, and it's going through the fire. Every man's work shall be tried. That day shall try it. And that which was done outside the will of God will be destroyed and be burned up. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's the only thing lasting. It's the only thing eternal. It's the only thing, the Bible says. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In contrast, all the things of the world, all of the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, all those things, he said, they're all going to be gone, destroyed. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you see it? Brother, I'm telling you, say, how important is it? Well, that verse tells you how important it is. That verse tells you how important it is. To know and to do the will of God. Do you know it? Are you living the will of God today? Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, Lord, we are so grateful that You've given us Your Word. Lord, You haven't left us to just wander in darkness. You've given us the light of Your Word. And Father, I pray You'd help us today to be yielded and surrendered to your will. Father, help us to be that Christian, laying ourselves upon the altar before you and saying, not my will, but may your will be accomplished in my life. Help us today, dear Lord. Speak to hearts. God, help us to discern the truth of your word. We pray for your blessings to be poured out now. In the precious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.